Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Something special is happening in the Bronx. Last season, the New York Yankees surprised many, falling one win shy of a World Series berth. This year, with a core of hulking homegrown superheroes and high-profile prospects, it's one of the most eagerly anticipated lineups in generations. Derek Jeter and the core four have passed the torch to a new generation of Yankee superstars, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, and Greg Bird, along with reigning National League MVP Giancarlo Stanton. It's a group expected to launch the rise of the next Yankees dynasty. An inside look at the emergence of what could be the next great run of Yankee dominance in the much-talked-about new book, The Baby Bombers, The Inside Story of the Next Yankees Dynasty, from respected veteran Yankees beat writer Brian Hoke, covering the New York Yankees for MLB.com since 2007, covering New York baseball for the past two decades, a regular contributor to MLB Network, FoxSports.com, Yankees Magazine. He knows the history of this organization inside and out. Brian Hoke, author of the new book, The Baby Bombers, The Inside Story of the Next Yankee Dynasty, forward by Mark Teixeira, with us on This Week in America. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
I am doing fine and looking forward to talking about baseball. And I love what's happening in New York, The Baby Bombers, The Inside Story of the Next Yankees Dynasty. And in your book, I can recall just a couple seasons ago, what was it, 2005, the Yankees didn't have a starter under the age of 30. This has been a dramatic transformation, hasn't it?
For sure it has. You know, the Yankees had been saddled with a lot of contracts. They had aging veterans, guys like Alex Rodriguez, Mark Teixeira, who you mentioned. They had Derek Jeter fading out at the end of his career, Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada. It could keep going, but they had a lot of guys who had a lot more yesterdays than tomorrows. And so what's going on now in the Bronx with guys like Aaron Judge and Luis Severino, Gary Sanchez, Greg Bird, for the first time in a very long time, you can forecast a future with these building blocks of the franchise. They're all in their mid-20s. They're all very good, talented, and that's what helped them get within one win of the World Series last year. Obviously, there was so much excitement around this team, and I think part of the reason they connected with the fan base was because you kind of felt like you were on the ground floor of something that was special happening in the Bronx and something we're going to be talking about for years to come.
It used to be when the Yankees had a problem, they'd wave the checkbook, they'd bring in a free agent and patch things up for a while, and they had success doing that. Talk about this decision that Hal Steinbrenner made, in fact, I think when he took over in 2008, to try to do it with a budget in mind, still have an entertaining product on the field, and the decision to rely more on the farm system as a pipeline rather than free agency.
Yeah, well, Hal Steinbrenner has talked about for years that you shouldn't have to field a payroll over $200 million to compete. And we're seeing that a lot with the recent World Series champions. And a lot of teams are coming in beneath that. It's something that George Steinbrenner did, and that's part of the reason why you had those dynasty teams in the late 1990s. They had the young talent coming up, and he would supplement that core by going out and getting big free agents. But after the Yankees won the 2009 World Series, teams got smart to that. They started to lock up their talent before they would get the free agency, give those guys long-term deals and buy out those contracts so they wouldn't make it to free agency where the Yankees could, as you say, throw the checkbook at them. And the last time they tried that in 2013, they tried that playbook. They threw a lot of money at guys like Jacoby Ellsbury, Brian McCann, Carlos Beltran, all turned out to be good, solid players and obviously had great track records, but it did not translate into a world championship. So a series of very difficult discussions took place after the Yankees missed the playoffs in back-to-back years in 2013 and 2014. Brian Cashman, the general manager, went upstairs to Hal Steinbrenner, and his recommendation was that they really focus on a youth movement, and they had all these players in the pipeline. They wanted to keep them for their own purposes rather than trade them away, as the team had done in years past. And you're starting to see the fruits of that here at the big league level. And I think there is something special for a fan base to be able to track guys like Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez all throughout the farm system. They make their way from Charleston to Tampa to Trenton to Scranton, and then you finally get them to New York City, where they're becoming stars, and learning how to deal with the pressures and the pleasures of playing for the New York Yankees, this storied franchise.
We're talking about the new book, The Baby Bombers, the inside story of the next Yankees dynasty. Brian Hoke with us, the author of the book, has written about New York baseball for the past two decades. Some people were caught sort of off guard by this. They knew they had some good prospects in the pipeline, but it's rare, I think, isn't it, when you see like a number of them come through at the same time. Were you surprised that these players came in and they really excelled right from the beginning?
It's rare for them to all come together at once like it did. I mean, you typically have a group of 10 or 20 prospects in a farm system that you're really excited about, and of that group, maybe 3, 4, or 5 will pan out. So for them to have it all come together here, and these guys all played with each other coming up through the pipeline, it is uncommon. And if I roll the clock back a year ago today, people were not very high on the Yankees' chances for 2017. A lot of people were saying this might be the first time since the early 1990s that the Yankees finished below 500. Very few were saying they were going to be a playoff contending team. Some even said they would finish last in the American League East. But to the players' credit in that room, they never believed that. And they went out and they took care of business. They played together well in April. They got off to a good start and they were rolling from there. And sometime around midseason, you looked up and the Yankees are in first place and battling for first place with the Boston Red Sox. And it really did come together a lot more quickly than I think even the Yankees would have envisioned when they were coming in at spring training last year.
Did they overachieve last year, do you think?
I think to some extent they may have. I think that they were lucky in a lot of ways because nobody forecasted Aaron Judge was going to be the kind of force that he was. I remember talking to Jim Hendry for the book, and he's one of the assistants to Brian Cashman, was obviously the general manager for the Cubs for a long time, and he said that coming into spring training, if Judge had hit 250 with 30 home runs, they would have been thrilled with that. So I don't think that anybody saw him being a runner-up in the MVP race, unanimous rookie of the year, hitting 52 home runs, new face of baseball. It was something very special that happened with Aaron Judge, and it happened very quickly last year. He got off to a hot start in April, and by May, you looked up at Yankee Stadium, they'd already made a dedicated seating area for him in right field. So this is certainly something that there was no Derek Jeter seating area back in the day down the third baseline by his shortstop position. So this is definitely a changing of the guard at Yankee Stadium and a new era that I think people should be very excited about.
Brian Hoke with us on This Week in America, author of the book, The Baby Boomers, The Inside Story of the Next Yankees Dynasty. It's a great read. It's available wherever books are sold. You can link on directly to the Amazon link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I love Judge because there's something that I think players are required to have to play in New York City. I keep thinking of Randy Johnson coming in, and he looked overwhelmed the first time he walked the streets of New York City. Derek Jeter said he's become a Judge fan, and he handles himself well. Talk about Judge and this adjustment he's made to playing in New York City.
I think a lot of it comes from who Aaron Judge is and the way he was brought up. I don't know if a lot of people know, but he was adopted at 2 days old. He's from Northern California, a suburb of San Francisco, and he was raised by Patty and Wayne, or his parents, and they're a pair of Caucasian high school teachers. So he was kind of introduced to a lot of different aspects of life growing up. They really raised him the right way. And as you mentioned, Jeter, I think there are a lot of similarities between the way Derek was raised and the way that Aaron Judge came up. And just polite, respectful. They have a good tempo for understanding people. And just watching the way that Aaron interacts with fans behind the batting cage, he's always got a smile. He'll always stop for kids and take a photo and sign a ball. I think this guy really does have a good idea of who he is. He's comfortable in his own skin, and he's adjusted well to New York. And I think that this is really who he is, because if it was an act, I don't think you could keep it up 24/7. I think that he is just a genuinely solid person. People have raved about his makeup coming from the minor leagues all the way up to the Yankee farm system. You would hear it year after year. This is a guy that's a leader in the clubhouse. He's a guy that people look up to, not just literally because he is 6'7", but in terms of his personality as well. And so it's easy to see beyond the mammoth home runs, and this guy does hit them farther than I think I've ever seen anybody hit them before. Maybe that'll change now that I get to watch Giancarlo Stanton for a full year, but I can definitely see why fans, young and old, are really flocking to Aaron Judge and why he is, as Commissioner Rob Manfred said, one of the new faces of the game.
In the book Baby Boomers, you have a quote from Hal Steinbrenner, and he says, "This clubhouse is one of the best we've ever had. You make a living hanging around the clubhouse, picking up, observing things, picking up signs there. What is this clubhouse like? Is this team as close as it appears they are?"
It is. It really is. It's one of the best clubhouses that I've ever been around. And I've been around quite a few dating back, and I've been around when it's not going very well, and that is not the case here. There is a good chemistry in that clubhouse. You don't have guys pouting because they're not getting playing time. They really do seem to feed off each other for the most part. Last year, what was going on in that dugout was really cool to watch. You know, especially down the pennant race, they had these little inside jokes that they would run with each other. For a stretch of time, they started giving each other thumbs down when somebody would get a big hit. They would kind of make these fake interviews where Didi Gregorius and Ronald Torres were on the team. They'd carry around an equipment box or a case of sunflower seeds and pretend to interview players after they hit a home run in the dugout. And it was just fun little things like that that I was able to capture in the book, to be a part of, to see it happening in real time, and just recognize that this is not something that happens every day. And I think that from the outside looking in, you look at these guys, and it looked like they were having a lot of fun. And from what I was able to see behind the scenes, it was even more so. So I think that that will carry over into 2018, and that's why I think people are so bullish about the Yankees' chances this year coming up.
A lot of people became really interested in believers in the Yankees during that American League Division Series. They're playing the very powerful Cleveland Indians. They go down 0-2. Talk about that and how this team said our backs are against the wall, and that's okay. We can handle it, and they came back and won it.
They did, and this team was resilient in a lot of ways during the course of the year. I mean, they had played in so many big games. The atmosphere was not intimidating for them. It's because they go up in so many matchups against, like, the Boston Red Sox, for example, where they go into a intimidating atmosphere like Fenway Park and have to compete and play well. And so I think that even when they were down 0-2 to Cleveland, they believed that they should have been 1-1 in that series, but they weren't ready to roll over and give up. In the wild card game against the Minnesota Twins, they were down 3-0 after the top of the first inning. They came back and won that game despite the fact that their starting pitcher, Severino, only got one out in the game. So they were able to piece that together and move on to the next round. And I think there was a resilience in this Yankee team. They also, home field advantage was huge. I mean, they played so well at Yankee Stadium. The crowd was really kind of a tenth man on the field for them. I was there in 2009 when they opened the stadium and they won the World Series. And I don't remember the building shaking the way it did last October. So you could see it. There was the decks were quivering, fans were jumping up and down. You'd see people losing their beverages and throwing peanuts in the air. It was just such a fun, festive environment to be a part of. And it almost felt at times like the Yankees couldn't lose. So the biggest thing in that series was that they had to win those two games at home. They did, and then they'd have to get on the plane and go back to Cleveland where they lost the first two, and they were able to go in and do it and move on to the next round. But I think that looking forward for 2018, the Cleveland Indians are still formidable. The Houston Astros are formidable. The Red Sox took the division by two games. So they still have the work cut out for them on the field. They have to prove it. But in terms of the postseason, they were a team that got hot at just the right time and almost made it all the way to the World Series.
Brian Hoke, our guest on This Week in America, author of the book The Baby Bombers, the inside story of the next Yankees dynasty. And to this great mix of young talent, they add Stanton. Talk about that, because for a lot of people, it was a head-scratcher when they woke up and they go, the Yankees got Stanton? Talk about adding him and what that means for this team.
Yeah, it was almost like the rich getting richer.
And, yes.
After having Aaron Judge emerge on the scene the way he did, the last thing you would think the Yankees would go get was another power-hitting right fielder. But I think it was a situation where the price was just too low. It was something that they couldn't pass up. When you have a guy who is the National League MVP, who had 59 home runs last year and such immense power and star potential, you put that guy in the Yankee uniform and then you figure out what you're going to do with him later. So It was not the Marlins' first choice under Derek Jeter, who is in his first few months as the owner of the Marlins. The last thing he wanted to be perceived as doing was helping out his old team, but they shopped Stanton to the Dodgers. The Dodgers couldn't afford him under their payroll. They worked out trades with the Cardinals and the Giants. Stanton had a no-trade clause, and he didn't want to go to either team. So that left the Yankees, and they kind of swooped in there and were able to get him at a discount in December. And as recently as November, Brian Cashman had said it didn't look like getting Stanton was anything that was on the table. It didn't look like it was in play at all. But the landscape changed once St. Louis and San Francisco were ruled out. So coming into this camp, I'm excited to watch those two guys hit. I've watched them take a lot of batting practice here in Tampa. The show has been as good as advertised. You watch them every day, and you're just awed by the massive power. And we'll see how it translates to game situations. But if they're able to stay healthy, I don't think scoring runs will be the Yankees' problem this year.
Brian Cashman says pitching is the key to the kingdom. How does the pitching look this year? In fact, you've got a couple quotes in the book where it's described in the farm system as insane. It sounds like it's going to be a strong year on the mound as well.
Yeah, it should be. I think that if you were going to look at one weakness on this Yankees team, I guess it would be starting pitching. It was something that Cashman tried to upgrade over the course of the offseason, but they weren't able to find something that worked as far as their asking price. They didn't want to give up with some of these top prospects that they have. But I think what you've seen championship teams do, especially in recent years, is you can build backwards from the ninth inning. And if you have a lockdown bullpen, like the Cubs did, like the Kansas City Royals did, you're able to shorten the game that way, and you can bring in your relievers as early as the fifth or sixth inning. It's something the Cleveland Indians did. We're able to get very deep into the postseason, almost won a World Series doing it with Andrew Miller, who is in the book as a Yankee. I think that if you look at this team, they've got to roll this Chapman back as the closer. They've got a wealth of arms down the bullpen, Chad Green, Tommy Canley, David Robertson. These guys are legitimate power elite closers type pitchers who can come in and really help out starting pitching. And really what you're going to need is the starting pitcher to give you probably five or six innings, and you can hand it over to the bullpen. And more often than not, you'll be shaking hands at the end of the night.
The new book is called The Baby Bombers, The Inside Story of the Next Yankees Dynasty, forward written by Mark Teixeira. The author is Brian Hulk, who's written about New York baseball for the past two decades. With us on the program, you're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages. Welcome back, This Week in America. Brian Hulk, our guest on the program. The book is The Baby Bombers, The Inside Story of the Next Yankees Dynasty. It's interesting behind the scenes, and you go behind the scenes and give us some insight as to why Joe Girardi is not the manager anymore and why Aaron Boone is. Let's go back. First of all, you said a nice, I can remember back in 1982, the Yankees had three managers in one year, in one season. They've had two for the last 22. A lot of people on the outside were surprised that Girardi didn't come back. And you quote in there, Brian Cashman, after game seven of the championship series, really went to Steinbrenner and said, I think we need to make a change. And he agreed.
Yes, he did. And it was a series of long conversations that took place after the Yankees were eliminated by Houston. And it was Cashman's recommendation that the Yankees needed somebody who could better communicate and connect with their players. And Hal Steinbrenner agreed. And what Hal said in the book is this is not something that was based upon 2017. This was an evaluation of the last 3 or 4 years and trends that were occurring and things that they had witnessed firsthand and heard secondhand from other people, and that Girardi just wasn't connecting with his players the way that the Yankees wanted to. And I tell you, on a personal note, last season, probably around August, I looked at Joe and I thought there's a chance he may not come back. It didn't look like he was having a whole lot of fun. I think the stress of the pennant race was getting to him. I think 10 years in that chair is a long time for anybody. But when he got into September, the pennant race kicked up. The Yankees were playing well. It seemed like he caught a second win. And then, obviously, in the postseason, they're one win away from going to the World Series. And I thought at that point, well, he'll definitely be back in 2018. And if it's not, he might be his choice. He would not come back for a personal reason. Perhaps he wanted to spend more time with his family, which is something he talked about. But I thought for sure the Yankees would at least tender him a contract to come back. So I was surprised when that came down. And I guess doubly surprised that it wound up being Aaron Boone, somebody who I didn't really consider as a managerial candidate. He was in the broadcast booth last year, never had any prior managing or coaching experience, but he obviously went in and aced the exam when the Yankees were doing the interview process in New York. I think he surprised the Yankees in a lot of ways because he was not their front-running candidate for the job, but they went in with an open mind. And credit to Brian Cashman and Yankee ownership, because as you've seen time and time again throughout this book, they are not afraid to roll the dice and make an unpopular decision and take a gamble. And more often than not, they have paid off. We'll see how it works out with Aaron Boone, but everything I've seen so far, he's hit the ground running, and he's running a tight camp for the Yankees.
It's interesting, in talking about Boone, you said he by far was number one. It was the horse race was for number two. After he had the went through the interviews, he was everybody's choice, and Cashman said he liked him for his intelligence, open-mindedness, and communication skills. Talk about that and the expectations, and you've seen him now in spring training. How is that going? How is he relating to this team of young players?
I think very well. I think what he is a player's manager. That's the best way I can describe it. I think the guys enjoy his presence. There's a lot of smiles in that room, a lot of laughter. But when it's time to get to work, they've buttoned it up and they've gotten out on the field and they've done it. So I think it's almost been a seamless transition in a lot of ways. There are still some holdovers from Girardi's coaching staff, so it's not completely unfamiliar. Larry Rothschild, the pitching coach, has helped out a lot in that regard. So there's continuity there, but I think there's also a fresh feeling in that clubhouse that everybody's almost starting new in a way. And Boone, despite not managing or coaching at any level, this guy literally grew up in a dugout. His grandfather played in the big leagues. His father did as well. So he's been preparing for this his whole life, he feels like, almost since he was 2 or 3 years old and running around the old Philadelphia Phillies clubhouse back in the early 1980s. So I think that the rhythm of the game will come to him. I think it's going to be a natural fit as far as learning how to run those nine innings. I'm sure there will be a couple growing pains here or there, particularly with bullpen management, but those are the kind of things I think can be ironed out. And the game is changing a lot now, where the baseball manager is not this Billy Martin, Earl Weaver, my way or the highway kind of guy. He's almost a middle manager between front office ownership, the analytics, the general manager, and the players. So if he's able to communicate with the players and keep everybody on the same page and make sure the nine innings on the field play out, I think he's going to have a lot of success in New York. And what obviously helps is he's going to have good players, which I think makes a good manager.
The fan base has been revived. We've got the Baby Bombers. What's it done for the beat writer? I sense passion in your voice this year, enthusiasm. You're ready to get this going and play the game. How much fun has this been for you?
It's been funny. And I think what's fun is you have a team that people care about. And with the Yankees, whether they win or lose, you know there's always passion out there. You know that people, they love them or they hate them. But there is no in-between. And so no matter what's happening on the field, people care about this team. And you know when you're writing a story that it is going to get clicked on, in my case, or picked up in the newspaper if you were writing for a paper. And I think that's all you can ask for. You're looking for entertaining stories, and there are so many to tell in that clubhouse that working on my day job for MLB.com as a reporter has been really, really enjoyable. And then as far as this book goes, getting to dig a little deeper into those stories and kind of paint the picture and trace where these guys came from and now getting to New York City and where they might be headed, it has been a whole lot of fun. So I've been living it pretty much 24/7. But I will say I am excited to get opening day here and start watching some games that count for real, because I think it's going to be a really entertaining pennant race this year. The Boston Red Sox are very good. The Yankees should be very good. And baseball, I think, is better when those two teams are going head-to-head and they're both really competing at a high level.
The book is a fun read. It's an entertaining read. It goes behind the scenes of what happened, the 2017 Major League Baseball playoffs. We mentioned how exciting that was coming back from that deficit with the Cleveland Indians. The book is called The Baby Bombers, The Inside Story of the Next Yankees Dynasty. Brian Hoke has written about New York baseball for the past two decades, including covering the Yankees as a beat reporter for MLB.com since 2007. The author, forward written by Mark Teixeira. The book is available all across the country. And, of course, you can link on to information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Brian, a pleasure to have a chance to read the book, to have you on the program. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope the weather warms up north for you guys, and let's play some ball real soon.
Eventually it will. Could be July, but eventually it will. Again, the book is The Baby Bombers, the inside story of the next Yankees dynasty. You're listening to This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.